in. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Looks like y'all have thawed out from the week and hopefully are ready for some rain coming, right? Man, it's going to be a crazy couple weeks for us weather-wise. But I promise you that the Lord is good. I promise you that. Hey, if you're a guest here with us this morning, my name is Kevin Wilsey. Let me be the first, hopefully not the first, but let me just say welcome and that we are glad that you are here. Welcome to Norris Ferry. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our series in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And Mark has been answering the question for us, who is Jesus? And I want you to think about that question for a moment. Who is Jesus? And I want you to think, and I want you to know that our response to that question, however you answer that question, has massive implications in our lives. It impacts the way we live. It impacts the way we speak. It impacts the way we act. It also impacts the way we endure hardships and sufferings. It impacts the way we parent. It impacts the way we are friends with others, how we interact with others. It impacts the way we work. See, our response to that question, it changes the way we live in all areas of our lives. And so far, Mark has been revealing to us that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Savior, that he is the Son of God who is announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in him. And Mark has been showing us this through the life of Jesus, through his ministry up to chapter 6 so far, that he has all authority. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over death by healing the sick, by raising up the dead to life. Mark has shown us that Jesus has all authority over spiritual things by casting out demons. That Jesus has all authority over creation by calming the sea that was raging. Mark has shown us that Jesus is the Son of God who is ushering in the kingdom of God and is calling us all to a deeper faith in Jesus. And this morning we come to chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. And in this passage, we find a very popular story, one you've probably heard in Sunday school or maybe from the pulpit before, but this story, this miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, aside from the resurrection, is the only miracle that is listed in all four gospel accounts. And I believe that it is listed in all four Gospels because this is a story, a miracle that ties so much of Scripture together and reveals to us another aspect of the question that Mark is asking, who is Jesus? This morning, we will see that Jesus is the compassionate shepherd who recognizes the spiritual and physical needs of his sheep. That Jesus is the compassionate shepherd who recognizes the spiritual and physical needs of his sheep. So let's pray and we'll dive into the passage. Compassionate Father, as we open your word this morning, may you give us the eyes and ears to see and believe who you truly are, who Jesus truly is. Father, through this story, Mark teaches us that Jesus is the compassionate shepherd, the good shepherd who sees his sheep's needs and meets them. And so may we recognize Jesus this morning as the compassionate shepherd and follow him in all areas of our lives. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So first, we're going to see Jesus, he recognizes the physical and spiritual needs of his disciples. Let's look at verses 30 through 32 of Mark 6. Verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. So a part of this passage, a part of the passage that we looked at last week showed us that Jesus, he sent out the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, two by two, right? That Jesus, he had given them authority to go and live on mission, to go and do the work of the ministry, to meet the needs of the people. And Jesus specifically gave them authority because he has all authority, but he gave them authority to heal the sick and cast out demons and preach a message of repentance. And the disciples, they go and they bring nothing with them. What they needed was provided for them by God. Right? What they needed was provided for them on their way, on their journey. And yeah, sometimes they were rejected. But they worked hard in doing ministry, meeting people's spiritual needs and physical needs. And now they've returned. They've all come back from this journey and they gather with Jesus and they start to tell him all that they've done. And upon hearing this, Jesus, their shepherd, their rabbi, the one who is guiding and leading them, the one who has been providing for them and taking care of them, he looks at them and he sees that they have a need. They have a physical need and a spiritual need. And Jesus says to them, come away by yourselves. Let us go to a desolate place, a place away where you can regain your strength, a place where you can be renewed. You see, Jesus, he understood the humanity of the disciples. He understood their physical bodies, that their bodies could only take so much work, could only do so much ministry. And Jesus understood there needs to be a time of rest and renewal. A time to give your body what it needs to recover. Jesus knew exactly what the disciples needed. So he says, come, come with me. Let's go and rest. We can't rest here. So many people are coming in and out. We can't even eat. We can't even get the nutrients into our bodies that we need. Jesus, he sees their physical need. But I believe Jesus also sees a spiritual need here. That what the disciples need for rest is time with him. To be filled and renewed with his presence, with his teaching. In Matthew 11, a popular teaching, the disciples, they hear Jesus' teaching. They hear him say, come to me and I will, what? Give you rest. Jesus says, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You will find rest for your souls in me. Amen. So as their shepherd, Jesus recognizes the disciples' physical and spiritual needs. And so they jump on a boat and they went away to a desolate place. They went away out into the wilderness. No towns around. And the same is true for you and I. Our bodies have the same physical and spiritual needs, and Jesus, he recognizes them. He understands that there are moments after we have been doing ministry or caring for a neighbor or caring for a family member. Carrying someone else's burden and you're tired and you're wore out. You've spent hours meeting someone else's needs. And you need to rest. You need renewal. And it's so easy for us these days to work ourselves so hard and then just crash. But it's not healthy for you and it is not healthy for those around you. And we all must understand that it's okay to rest. Jesus sees that you have a need to rest. He recognizes that. But we don't just need physical rest. there are times in our lives where we need to go away and spend time with Jesus. We need to find a desolate place, a place where no one can come in and out bothering us, and we need to feed on Jesus. Spend time in his word, listen to his words and what he commands, and let him renew our souls and give us strength. And so the disciples, they jump into a boat and they go to a desolate place. And at this point, we're thinking Jesus and his disciples are just going off and they're going to go and find rest. But instead, we find them going and running into more people. Their time of rest is interrupted by a large crowd. Let's look. Look at verses 33 and 34. Now many people saw them going and recognized them. So they saw them get into the boat and saw where they were heading. And the many people, they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And this cracks me up because Jesus gets in a boat, they're in the water, trying to get to this point quicker, and they see all these people running along the shorelines to meet them where they're going. These people must be fast, all these men. It makes me think like it's just a bunch of Andrew Gaspards or Stephen Payne running out there. If you don't know them, they are very fast. But Jesus and his disciples, they jump into a boat and they cut across the water heading to this place, and all these people are running there. In verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd. Now keep in mind, the other gospels share with us that this crowd is 5,000 men, okay? 5,000 men, and that's not counting women and children. So this crowd is anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 people, all gathered on the shoreline. And Jesus, he comes ashore and he sees this massive crowd. And listen to this. The rest of verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Jesus, in his compassion, he recognizes the spiritual need of the crowd. Jesus, he looked upon this crowd, and instead of being annoyed and frustrated that now this time of rest wasn't going to happen, he felt compassion for them. This word compassion is used 9 times in the New Testament, and each time it describes who Jesus is. Ray Ortland says this compassion reflects the deepest heart of Christ. Jesus looked upon the crowd and saw his creation, saw his people being neglected and not cared for. This crowd of people, they were hopeless, wandering through life, being led astray by other leaders like King Herod, looking for guidance, looking for protection, looking for a place of rest. And Jesus, in his compassion, he saw this crowd as sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved towards them to meet their need. Do we have that same compassion? Even in times when we want to rest, are we still guided by the compassion of Christ? And here in this verse, there's a deep meaning here. And I don't want to miss it, but this phrase of this crowd being like a sheep without a shepherd, it has massive implications. And if you know and you study your Bible, then you picked up on this and you see this. But all throughout Scripture, we see images and verbiage of sheep and shepherds. And we have all heard, I'm sure, that sheep are dumb, right? Although in reality, they're quite smart, but that's beside the point, okay? The point here is that they very much stick within their flock and follow a leader. They need guidance. Shepherds, they lead and feed and protect and care for and guide their sheep. Well, in the Old Testament, God is considered the shepherd over his people Israel. And he appoints under shepherds throughout time to care for Israel. And Israel is often considered the sheep. Moses being a great example of a shepherd to Israel. He led them out of slavery in Egypt through the wilderness, caring for them, providing for them. And in the wilderness, Moses, he then pleaded with the Lord to appoint, at the end of Moses' life, to appoint Joshua as his successor, saying, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, the Lord shows us what it looks like for the sheep to be without a shepherd. They will be scattered across the land. They would be devoured by wild animals. They would be devoured by other leaders. And so the Lord, he promises in Ezekiel 34, he says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. And there they shall lie down in good grazing land. And on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will strengthen the weak. He says, I will appoint over them a single shepherd, my servant David, and he shall shepherd God's people. And guess what? David did just that. David was a shepherd to the Israelites. And God kept his promise, and from the line of David has come a final shepherd, the shepherd savior for God's people. And we get to meet him right here in this story. As God's people are in the wilderness, wandering, being led astray by other leaders, Jesus has come for this purpose as the good shepherd. And Jesus recognizes the crowd's spiritual need. He sees them. He has compassion upon them. And he moves towards them to shepherd his sheep. And what is the first thing that Jesus does in his compassion as he shepherds the sheep? He teaches. He teaches. Now, Mark doesn't allude to what Jesus teaches, but from other gospels, from Mark 1 as well and other scriptures, we know that Jesus has been teaching the people things that relate to the kingdom of God, to repent and believe in him. You see, Jesus, he comes to the people and moved out of compassion. The first thing he does is he feeds the crowd with the word of God. He knows that this is a great need in their life, that they are lost, they are stranded, they are in suffering and sin and have no deliverance. So moved by compassion, he teaches. And just from other passages of scripture, maybe we can imagine that he's sharing that man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of God brings freedom and brings life. Or thinking about the Gospel of John, following this miracle in the Gospel of John, Jesus, he teaches that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him shall not hunger, and whoever believes in him shall never thirst. Or maybe he shares a similar teaching as John 10, that he is the good shepherd who has come to protect and guide and provide everlasting life for those who believe in him, that he will lay down his life for his sheep. See, Jesus, moved by compassion, he teaches them, meeting their spiritual need. But what happens next is Jesus, he doesn't just meet their spiritual need, he also meets their physical need. Let's look at verses 35 through 44. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place. There's that word again, a desolate place. And the hour is now late. So they're still out in the middle of nowhere. Jesus has been teaching for a long time, and it's approaching dinner. And the disciples say, verse 36, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Lord, we don't have any food for them. We're thinking about their need, right? We're thinking about them and are being compassionate towards them. They're getting hungry. They need to go and buy food for themselves. But what's so silly about this, and we must remember how this story started and what happened last chapter, but the disciples just came back from a journey where they saw miraculous things, where they did miraculous things, and they saw God provide for them every step of the way. But they seem to forget that here. Verse 37, but Jesus, he answered them, you give them something to eat. Drawing them to a deeper faith, trying to remind them of what they had just accomplished, who they are with, that they are with the Son of God. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them? Should we go and spend half a year's wages and buy food for all these people? No way. And Jesus said to them, verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Probably a blessing, a common blessing of their time was, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the world, who brings forth bread from the earth. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. See, Jesus has met the crowd's physical need of hunger, and he left them satisfied. He has given them more than enough. He has given them an abundance of food, 12 baskets full of leftovers. And this miracle in itself is magnificent. Just from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, thousands of people fed. You see, Jesus in his compassion, he moves towards the crowd in a desolate place, and he provided for their need. He reveals to you and I, to them, who he truly is, that he is the shepherd who recognizes the needs of his sheep spiritually and physically. And just as God sent manna down from heaven in the Old Testament to feed the Israelites, as he shepherded his people, as Moses shepherded the Israelites, in the same way as the Israelites wandered in the desolate place and Jesus sent manna from heaven, God sent manna from heaven, Jesus has been sent by God to do the same, to meet the needs of his people. And in the same way, with that same compassion, Jesus, he moves towards you and I. He moves towards us. You see, this compassionate shepherd, he is the bread of life. He is the shepherd who has already laid down his life for you. Jesus says in John 6 that the bread he gives for the life of the world is his flesh. You see, this miracle that we just read, it points us forward to the Lord's Supper. As Jesus sat them down in rows, literally meaning that they reclined in rows with one another, drawing us to the picture of the disciples reclining at the table with Jesus. Jesus, he picked up the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And it reminds us that Jesus, in that blessing, in him breaking the bread, that Jesus, he actually went and he broke his body for us. that he lived a perfect, obedient life, something that we cannot do, and yet still went to the cross, dying for our sins, being broken for us. But in doing so, he granted to us eternal life. For those who have faith in this compassionate shepherd, we are given eternal life. This shepherd, Jesus, has guided us to eternal life, sacrificing himself for his flock. But this story, it also gives us a glimpse of what that eternal life will be like. You see, the people that day sitting on this green, luscious hill, the shepherd had provided for them and has satisfied their physical need of hunger. And it draws us as the reader forward to this feast that we are going to have with our compassionate shepherd, with the same shepherd of Jesus, where we will be forever satisfied spiritually and physically. See, Revelation 7, 16 through 17 says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Hear this, for the Lamb, for Jesus, in the midst of the throne, Jesus will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. You see, the compassionate shepherd, he recognizes the spiritual and physical need of his sheep. And he has provided for you and I all we need. And that was him. That was him. And so the question for us this morning is, do we recognize Jesus to be the compassionate shepherd? Are we following him? Are we seeking his guidance, looking for his protection? Are we listening to his voice and obeying his commands where he calls? Do you see that he has provided for you? As a good shepherd, he has given his life for you. As the bread of life, he has provided for you everlasting satisfaction. And all we must do is believe in him, to put our faith in him. Do you recognize Jesus to be the compassionate shepherd? Followers of Jesus, as Jesus shepherds you, let me ask you, are you moved by this same compassion towards others? Are you allowing Jesus to use you to distribute the bread of life towards others? May we all find rest and renewal in the compassionate shepherd who recognizes the spiritual and physical needs of his sheep. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, it's on my heart to pray Psalms 23. So Father, I want to pray these words, and I want to lift them up to you, and I pray that these words would be instilled in the hearts of everyone in this room, that they would be true for everyone in this room. That they would say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Yes, Jesus, you restore my soul. Father, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for your glory. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Father, because you are with me, my shepherd is with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They guide me. Shepherd, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. goodness and mercy, they follow me all the days of my life, because I am with my shepherd, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May this be your cry. May this be our cry, that you would be our compassionate shepherd, that we would trust you with our spiritual and physical needs. Father, may we find rest and renewal.